News release. Brock University. Brock University experts are providing tips to make Halloween accessible, healthy, and educational for all trick-or-treaters. 22% of Canadians identify as neurodiverse or disabled in some way, so if you extrapolate that, 1 in 5 kids coming to your house will likely fall under that umbrella, says Professor of Physical Education and Kinesiology Maureen Connolly. Also the Director of Research at the Brock Niagara Center of Excellence in Inclusive and Adaptive Physical Activity, Connolly says anticipating complexity and diversity, and planning festivities with inclusion in mind ensures no one, children going door to door or the caregivers accompanying them, feels left out on October 31st. Connolly says it's still possible to enjoy the thrills associated with creating spooky environments without endangering the safety or enjoyment of treat seekers. The startle reflex is significant for anyone managing spasticity, for instance, so offering fair warning to anyone approaching your property, such as a sign that indicates there may be sudden loud noises, can alert people to any potential triggers and avoid potential injury, she says. Planning with open minds and open hearts can help make Halloween an accessible experience, with Connolly suggesting treat givers have options for trick-or-treating stations and set up in an accessible location, like the end of the driveway, to reduce obstacles and accommodate children who aren't comfortable around crowds or noise. Provide treats free from common allergens and/or in packaging that lists the ingredients for children with dietary restrictions. Non-food treats are also an option. Understand that some children may not use speech as a communication method and that not getting a verbal response doesn't mean they are ungrateful. Smiles and waves are widely understood forms of communication. Try to avoid ignoring a child in favor of speaking solely to the parent. Involve those participating at home by having them give out treats and interact with treat seekers of the same age. Once the trick-or-treating is done, Assistant Professor of Early Childhood Education Jamie Barrett says it's important to consider how increased sugar consumption can impact children's behavior and learning. Sugar highs and crashes can make it harder for children to focus and engage in school activities following the holiday, so it's important to encourage balance and discuss moderation while still encouraging them to enjoy Halloween, she says. Barrett says parents can do so by engaging in discussions about moderation and balancing their children's sugar intake with nutritious snacks such as fruit, nuts, seeds or protein-rich foods throughout the day. Professor of Health Sciences Jason Liu also encourages parents to monitor the amount of Halloween candy children eat, since early lifestyle changes could help prevent or mitigate chronic diseases. Halloween's a good time to teach your kids how to control the amount of candy they eat and develop self-discipline in this area, says Liu, who studies cardiovascular disease and its related risk factors. Diet plays a very important role in children's growth and building a strong immune system. He says poor diets are associated with a poor cardiometabolic profile in early childhood, which may cause insulin resistance and contribute to cardiovascular risk in adulthood. Childhood overconsumption of saturated fats and carbohydrates also contributes to obesity and heart dysfunction, while an overconsumption of sugar triggers inflammation, damaging the blood circulation system and contributing to the progress of atherosclerosis. It may also interfere with children's sleep patterns, which can fuel obesity. The candy haul itself can also prompt conversations about future thinking to help children develop related skills, says Professor of Psychology Caitlin Mahey. Anytime children are presented with an abundance of resources all at once, it's a good opportunity to start a conversation about future and current needs, she says. Children can think about saving and allotting candy over time to extend their enjoyment of it. They can also start developing empathy for their future self, making choices on how much candy they eat so they, for example, don't get a stomach ache. To help children develop future thinking skills in an age-appropriate way, Mahey suggests parents use shorter future thinking time frames for younger children. For a 3- or 4-year-old, talk about tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, she says, whereas a child closer to 8 or 10 can think about next week or next month. Start conversations with open-ended questions that prompt kids to consider how they'll manage resources over time, such as, Are you going to make piles? How much candy would you like to have left tomorrow, next week, in a month? Talk about future consequences, but avoid getting discouraged if a child wants to eat all the candy right away, as young kids are centered in the present.